Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about physical attraction versus emotional attraction. Are both of them needed to be in a relationship, or is one just enough? Plus, I answer your sex, dating, and relationship questions. Topics include, so you're emotionally attracted to someone, but physically not so much. Is it possible for those physical attractions to grow over time? The person you're seeing says he doesn't want to be in a relationship, yet he continuously acts like he's your boyfriend. What's the deal? The key distinctions between erotica and pornography. And what to do when your fiancé is into large breasts, but feel like yours aren't fulfilling his sizable likings. All this and more. Thanks for listening. My friends are always amazed at how I just seem to turn every conversation into sex talk. I mean, but it just happens. Okay, so watch. It's summer. Well, summer means vacations, and vacations mean vacation sex. See, I can't help it. But for real, vacation sex is literally the best thing ever. I mean, you're in a whole new place, you're not thinking about work, someone else gets to clean the sheets, I mean, you get it. And because I love you all so much, I've put together something to make your next trip extra special. My subscription box is all new this quarter, and the theme is, you guessed it, vacation sex. It's an awesome box. You'll get a great waterproof mini vibe from Cal Exotics, a set of door jam handcuffs from Sports Sheets, an Uberlube travel kit, CBD lip balm from Veritas Farms, and a few other tasty surprises. Oh, and I've also included a little vacation sex cheat sheet with my top tips for making the most of your time away. If you haven't seen my subscription box, I hope you'll check it out. Every quarter, I hand select a bunch of amazing products for you to try. So there's no guessing, no shopping around. I make it easy for you. You subscribe, and every 3 months, a new box shows up at your door. But if you don't like it, cancel anytime. No worries. Oh, and you also save a bunch of cash compared to ordering everything separately. So it's kind of a no-brainer. To check out my vacation sex subscription box, go to sexwithemily.com/box. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/box.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our website, chock full of information for you. Plus, find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, enjoy the show. We know that when we get excited about something here in the office and we're talking about it, that we thought this is going to be a great debate. So I actually want to hear from you. We put something, we want to know about physical attraction versus emotional attraction. We got an email from a listener, and he was like, he said, his name is Mark, and he said, just check this out. He's like, you know, I've been listening to your podcast on SiriusXM, and essentially, he's with a woman. She checked off all of his boxes. He's like, she's amazing. We went on dates. We enjoyed all of them. The only problem, he says, is I am not physically attracted to her, even though she's drama-free, she's sweet, she's kind, she's independent, and she has a lot of my same interests. I feel like I'm being superficial and not pursuing her because of the lack of attraction. I'm really bothered. She's an awesome person, but I'm not attracted to her. Should I give it a shot and see what happens or move on? And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. How many times have we dated someone who's good on paper? Who's like, oh my God, they're amazing. They've got a great job. And, you know, we come from a similar background and they're kind and they're very thoughtful and they do all these things, but I just don't want to bang them. Do you think that attraction can grow over time? Or do you think, well, we know, we know? I want to hear from you, 888-947-8277. But we had to take it one step further, right? Producer Jamie, we decided to put it on Twitter, which is also Sex with Emily. We got 680 votes, and 35% said, yeah, you know what, Emily? I'd stay with someone that ticks off all their boxes even if there wasn't a physical attraction. I'm just going to stay with them. It's okay if we never, I want to have sex. They're probably thinking sex fades over time. I don't care if I just fantasize about everybody else I see because I don't want to have sex with this person. But 65% said, nope, I need a physical component. Now, it's interesting the way that we worded this because there's something very different between attraction and chemistry and like a physical attraction, because like I've found that there's people that have definitely grown on me over time. Like initially I'm like, no, I'm not really attracted to them. But after a few times of hanging out with them, I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm so attracted to them. You know, something, you know, mentally they turn me on, you know, and they're really funny and they have an emotional intelligence. And then to me, I become physically attracted to them. But there are some people that I've also found that are super good looking empirically, and I'm just not attracted to them. So I think that it differs, you know, definitely. But I believe that it will grow over time and definitely give someone a chance. I think a few dates is enough, or a few months maybe. But I think, you know, some people are like, oh no, I like to take it really slow. But I think definitely 3 or 4 dates, you are going to know if I'm going to want to sleep with this person or not, if it's going to grow, you know. I do think people grow. I do think it's different for men. I think that men decide, they say in 20 seconds or less, whether they want to sleep with someone. But I don't know. I do want to hear from you, 888-947-8277. I also think that the thing is, like, chemistry is really elusive. And I think that knowing that chemistry is an important part of it, but yeah, I think it can grow over time. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think it can grow for sure, but because there are certain things that, like, certain aspects of a person will make them more physically attractive to you. Because, like, I've definitely dated people that are not traditionally attractive, but there's aspects of them in their personality that I like. They become cute in your eyes. But I don't think you can, if it's never there, then it's just a friendship. That's right. How I feel.
It is a friendship. But I think that, and people who say, well, sex isn't important because it fades over time. It's true that sex is going to fade, but I still think that you're going to want to be romantically and sexually involved with this person, because then you just become roommates, which we know by a lot of our listeners, that eventually happens. And that's why I have a show, and that's why you're all calling me, because you're like, they're amazing. She's a great mother of my children. We love to do all the same things, but I'm just not physically attracted.
Listen, guys.
Kristen.
I'm in the 35%. Let me phrase it this way. Okay. If you were dating Batman and he had all the gadgets, but he just didn't know how to use them, wouldn't you still date Batman?
Which
Adam
gadgets
West
does
or
he have?
Christian Bale?
He's got all the gadgets, but maybe one.
But to me, that one is important. If I don't ever want to sleep with you and cuddle and touch you, I'm not, my pheromones, I'm not just not attracted to you. I think that that's going to matter. Now, if he has the gadgets, but that he's not Batman, but he doesn't know how to use the gadgets.
Yes.
Then he's not Batman.
Batman
knows how to use the gadgets.
But I feel like you can be attracted to the guy who has it all, but maybe he's just missing that one piece that brings it all together.
But that one piece that brings it all together is the glue.
Oh, but I don't know, guys. Like, it's so hard because attraction does fade. But can't you be attracted to, what if, all, like, I have a lot of boxes,
I think attraction fades. I think you want to have sex less regularly. I think people piss you off. I think there's resentments. But eventually, the couples that are the healthiest, when they have sex, they're like, oh yeah, this is why we're together. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I know so many people call into this show, and I want to hear from you. What do you think? How important is physical attraction in a relationship? 888-947-8277. Or of course, call me with any question you have at all about sex, dating, love. But I do think like I have friends who've been married for 20 years, and one of my best friends, when she's having a problem with her husband, she's like, I can't stand him. Things are so bad right now. I'm like, can you just have sex? Because we've talked for so many years. I'm like, just have sex with him. And then she'll call me and she'll say, okay, I love him again. Things are great. Because they always have that chemistry. No matter what happens, they have 2 kids. They have a lot of things, drama, stuff goes on. But that's what brings them back together again.
I still want to have sex with someone, even if like the physical attraction's not there. I can be attracted to other things that they have to offer.
Well, but
Okay.
I'm in the 35%. You guys are in the 65.
That's okay. There's Kristen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it not saying it's like a kink really, but like you can kind of get off on the other aspects of what someone has. So it's like a physical attraction to their other qualities.
Yeah, like in intelligence.
Well, that is true. Maybe you're sapiosexual, but the thing is, here's the thing. I'm a sapiosexual in the sense of like I want to be attracted. I would need someone to be intelligent. I want to be attracted to their intelligence. But then when you're a sapiosexual, then or even a demisexual, if you're attracted to their emotional intelligence, that becomes attractive though. And then I want to have sex with them because of the intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, at least they're intelligent and have a great job and all these things going for them. I'm still not attracted to them. But that stuff turns into attraction for me.
Yeah.
But maybe if they know how to use it, you could teach people how to be great lovers to you.
I'm on board with that just because I've been in so many relationships where it was based on physical attraction and it just didn't pan out. And I had a lot of problems and it was dysfunctional. And so I just feel like at this point in my life, I'm putting other boxes above physical attraction.
Okay.
Okay, I get that.
I understand that. I mean, but I feel like...
I guess I've never dated someone that looks good on paper. Yeah. All the people I've dated honestly look fucking terrible on paper.
Really? Like no job? They...
Well, no, I mean, they have jobs. There's no drive there, though. Like, no that's drive. For me. I don't care what job you have, as long as you have some passion or drive about something in your life.
Right.
You can have a 9-to-5 job that you don't give a shit about necessarily, as long as there's something in your life you have a passion about. But if you're just kind of like, I work at this job and I don't give a shit about it and I don't really care, have any aspirations for anything else, that's what's not attractive to
right.
me.
Mm-hmm. To you and to some people that might be, right, the job isn't the thing, but there's other factors. But you're right. Passion is very attractive. You know, I think passion's attractive and commitment to something. But there are people that I've even thought like, oh, my God, I love this guy. He's my best friend. And I've tried to be attracted to him. And yep. I've tried. I'm like, I'm just going to get drunk. And maybe if I get drunk, I'm going to want to have sex with him. And I even tried with one of my best friends years ago. And he was like, we should try. And then I got drunk. And then I still tried to kiss him. And I couldn't. Like, I couldn't get excited about him.
I feel like everyone in that 35% has decided to be with someone who they're maybe not physically attracted to, but checks all their other boxes. Because why else would those people
vote
that way?
You guys, I want to hear from everybody. What have you decided about attraction? Did it grow for you over time? Is it a deal breaker? 888-947-8277.
Okay, we have Angela, 45, in Oregon, who said she would be with someone that she doesn't find attractive.
Okay. Hey, Angela, thanks for calling.
Hey, Emily.
Hey. Okay, so tell me.
For 30 years, well, I've been with my husband for 30 years, but married for 28. And there's times where we get in a rut and I'm like, I'm not really attracted to you anymore. But then we go away for the weekend and then I'm like, oh yeah, now that's why I was attracted to you.
Right.
Because we time together.
But you were initially attracted to him, right, when you married him. So there was an initial attraction. That's different than, like, over time you just can't stand your husband. Because that happens to, I think, most people.
Right.
But
right.
you have that base attraction.
I think, though, that attraction can grow.
Yeah, it can grow, but it's not going to... Do you think it can grow, I don't know, like after a month or two? Like, don't you think that you kind of know after you give someone a shot, a few dates?
I think after a month you would know.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I think you can give them the shot.
Always give them a shot. I always go out with someone again if I'm on the fence. I give them like usually three chances. Well, I'm glad, Angela. I hope you guys take more weekends away together. Just get a hotel room for a night.
We do all the time.
Okay, good. I love it. Well, thanks for calling, Angela. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that is true, though. I think a lot of couples should be, this is just a side note, remember that sex can heal it. So if you are in a place with your partner where you can't stand them right now, plan that date night like your life depends on it, because it does. Get a hotel room for a night. I can't think of a better way to spice your relationship up. That's actually cheaper than dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a friggin' hotel room for there. There's nothing like a change of scenery to up the attraction. But if the attraction is never...
They're calling the wrong number.
You're supposed to call the stars number, guys.
Oh, my God. 888-947-8277. What a rookie move. So, yeah, no, I think when you know, you know. I'm just worried about Kristen walking down the path of this.
Okay, but okay, question for you, Emily, about yes? this. What if you have amazing imagination skills?
I do.
And you close your eyes and you just imagine a more attractive person.
For the rest of my life?
Yeah, well, not?
Oh, I think because it's not even about the way they look. It's not even like picturing it with someone else. It's like there's this intangible with chemistry and connection and how they feel, when, like how it feels to have their hands on your body, or like how to look at them, or how they smell. Like scent is, your olfactory is a huge factor in attraction and chemistry.
And then you bottle, you found someone you like smell, you found a scientist, you bottled their pheromones. You put it on the other guy. You gave him some gloves that have lotion on it or something.
Yeah, so I sniff it. I sniff this bottle of the other before we have sex. I mean,
too much prep. I wouldn't do it.
Too much. No. I believe that it is sort of this amorphous thing, but you do think eventually you want to be able to get aroused by someone. Because I'm just telling you, if you're, and here's the other thing I want to add to this, because I hear this all the time. If you're having problems with your sex life right now and you've only been with someone for a few months or even up to a year, and there's problems in the sex life, like people aren't performing, or you feel like there's a mismatched libido thing, desire discrepancy, either decide to work on it today or cut it, because it's only going to go downhill from there. If there is a problem with your sex life right now, don't walk down that aisle. People think, well, once we get married, then I'll be able to open up and be more forthcoming about it. But you got to deal with it right now. Deal with it head on.
I feel like at the end of the day, when you get married to someone, although I would have no clue if this is correct because I'm not fucking married.
Right.
But it's just like a piece of paper and a wedding day. Your relationship mm-hmm. should somewhat still be the same the next day. So why would all of these magical changes happen once you tie the knot?
Very wise, Jamie. It's true. I think that people, because they're excited about the wedding and they were raised that the thrill of the wedding is like the best part. And they just, I think that's what we're told. I think that people are like, wedding changes everything. Once you commit to being together, then I'll work on it. Or I don't have to be my true self till we get married. People say this all the time. People change right after we get married. But these are people, I think, who don't have a lot of practice living an authentic life and being vulnerable. Like, you know, we bring our best selves to a relationship. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of people just are like excited about the wedding and they're planning for that. And then they're like, we got married and now what? No, I just don't think we're really self-aware. Maybe they don't listen to the show.
Don't you think it'll be nice? It would be nice, though, to marry someone and be in like a tribe lifestyle where your life isn't just dependent on you and you get to share responsibilities with somebody else.
What do you mean? Yeah. I mean, to be with one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that would be great, but I want to have sex with them. I want to have sex yeah. with them.
They'll do their part. You guys
Kristen's
are so
like, but they do
them.
All the they do all these other things. I think you're gonna miss sex, Kristen.
I will have sex with them. Okay. They don't have to be Tom Cruise or Leonardo DiCaprio. Right. You know, well, they can okay. be Albert Einstein. I'll okay. get down with that.
Okay, okay, okay. So then, really, the thing is, though, I feel like you can't have zero in your heart of hearts, zero physical attraction to someone
zero.
That you will have sex with. There is some, like, you there's no way, because if you mm-hmm. have 0% physical attraction, the thought of them touching you is grotesque.
It's yeah,
you
it's
didn't
repellent.
Say they were disgusting.
No, they don't have to be disgusting.
Listen, they're not
they
disgusting.
They don't have to be disgusting. They could be the hottest guy in the world, but if you have no actual physical attraction
that's
to them.
That's what I'm talking about. You like, they touch you and you recoil, not because they're gross.
Yes. They touch you and you're just like,
hasn't that's happened to me so many times. I'm like, oh, this is done. Or I've even dated someone for a while, and then there's this point where it just flips, and I'm just like, oh, I'm done. I'm not attracted to anymore. And it's not just because their physical appearance changed. It's because something happened in the relationship, who they are, something they did, it changed.
It's like the chemistry doesn't match.
The chemistry doesn't match up.
I so get that. Maybe it's more chemistry-ish.
Yeah, but chemistry is so elusive too. But it is.
True.
It's all the things. It's pheromones. It's because that stuff does matter, and it's a lot of things about a person. Do I respect them as a human? Do mm-hmm. we share the same values? But you could even share the same values with someone and think they're a wonderful person, and still not be attracted to them. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your questions. Can I let you in on a little fantasy of mine? Okay, it goes like this. There's a knock at my door, and when I open it up, there's a package. And no, it's not the bathroom cleaner I ordered on Prime. That's just kind of a bummer. It's a gift, but not just any gift. It's super hot lingerie that actually fits, and it won't fall apart if I actually try to wear it for more than 30 seconds. Well, my fantasy came true when I got a package from Enclosed, the luxe lingerie gifting service and my newest obsession. So Enclosed puts together the most incredible packages of high-end lingerie. It's not your typical tear and toss package stuff. I'm talking ultra-high quality garments from exclusive designers around the world. So basically, Enclosed totally solves the biggest problem with lingerie, and that's shopping for it. I mean, come on, it's borderline impossible. There's so much to choose from, especially when you're buying it for your partner. And just getting the correct size can be a nightmare, but not with Enclosed. Their size guarantee means you can't mess it up, and they get the fit right 98% of the time. The process is so simple. You just take a quick personalization quiz, select your delivery package. You can even customize just how naughty the styles are. Oh, and when it arrives, you pull it out of the box and all these really beautiful little rose petals in it. Such a fun, exciting package to get. Enclosed offers a variety of options and subscription packages for any budget. And for a limited time, they'll knock $25 off your first order. Start pampering yourself or your partner today. Go to sexwithemily.com/enclosed. That's sexwithemily.com/ENCLOSED. Just use code Emily at checkout to save $25 on your first order. Did you know you'll spend one third of your life in bed? That's a big chunk of time. So you deserve to be comfortable while you're there, right? This is where Brooklinen swoops in to save the day. Well, night. You get it. I mean, I first tried Brooklinen's super comfy hotel quality sheets a couple years ago, and now I'm so thrilled to have them actually be a part of the show. Brooklinen's founders knew that quality doesn't come cheap, but they wanted everyone to experience hotel quality sheets without breaking the bank. Today, Brooklinen.com is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. They even won Good Housekeeping's Best Online Bedding Company Award. They have so many amazing colors and patterns and materials to choose from. You can actually design your perfect bedding combo. And to be honest, I used to buy the cheap sheets, but Brooklinen turned me into a bit of a sheet snob, and I'm actually proud to say it. And by the way, those cheap, scratchy polyester sheets can be a deal breaker when it comes to your sex life. I mean, I had to buy some for a boyfriend once because I was not going to sleep there anymore. I love my Brooklinen.com sheets, and their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. I've told all my friends about them, and I want you to try some for yourself. Right now, my listeners can get an exclusive offer, 10% off plus free shipping when you use code SEX at checkout. They're so confident in their products, they'll offer a lifetime warranty on all sheets, comforters, towels. To save 10% off and free shipping, go to Brooklinen.com. Use code SEX, that's BROOKLINEN.com, and use code SEX. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on SiriusXM Radio. You'll find me in Stars, channel 109, Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.
We have Debbie, who's 50 in California. She says she's been seeing someone for a year and he doesn't want to have a committed relationship should she leave.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to hear from you. So tell me what's going on. So he doesn't want a committed relationship, but I'm assuming you do?
Correct. So basically, we've been dating for like a year now, and so I've come up to him and I've asked him, you know, what's going on. So basically, he doesn't want to commit, but he wants to act like he's my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of want to know, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I should still be with him or if I should leave.
Well, how does it feel to you? It sounds like you want a committed relationship. So I feel like you're not going to get him to change. If he's telling you he doesn't want to commit, but he wants all the benefits of being committed to you, like being your, like you do things for him and you're there for him, but yet he still wants to sleep with other people. Is that what it sounds to me like?
No, I don't know if he's sleeping with anyone else. I don't think he is because, he normally talks to me a lot, and we share a lot of things together. But I don't think he's actually cheating on me. I just think that maybe something in his past may have triggered him not to want to commit. And I don't even think it's an easy, because we've been together for over a year now.
But have you asked him why he doesn't want? Because you're asking for a commitment. Well, essentially, what prompted you to ask for a commitment right now?
Well, because we're acting like boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
So,
and that would mean that you're right. That makes sense after a year. Absolutely. And then he said to you, what? I don't want to be your committed boyfriend. But what does that mean? Like, we need more information here, because you're saying you're very loving and understanding. You're saying, Debbie, well, I don't think he cheats because we talk all the time. Well, come on. We all know. We all have our phones in our hands at all times. And just because you're not with him doesn't mean that he's not up to something else. So I feel like you're asking because you'd like that security and that comfort of knowing. And he's saying no to you. So,
correct.
Yeah. So to me, it sounds like you're not getting your needs met. And I would say to you, you're 50 years old. How old is he?
He's 61.
All right. So I would ask him, what he's looking for by not, maybe it's semantics. Maybe it's the words. I used to not love the word boyfriend. I used to tell my guys I was dating, I was like, we can commit, but don't use boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, I just didn't like the terminology. So all I'm saying is, like, you need to get more information before I can tell you what to do. But what it sounds like is that for me, if someone doesn't want to commit, it's like they want to keep their options open or they want to date other people. But he's 61. So I don't know. Maybe he's seeing. I think you just got to find out more. And it might be tough, Debbie, but I think you got to ask the hard questions. And if you can live with it in the same way it is now, but without the title, then you can stay with him. You get to decide.
Okay.
Just ask for more information and then decide why he, ask him what's not interesting to him about committing right now. In a very non-judgmental, oh my God, why don't you want to commit? Just be like, I was thinking about our conversation the other day and you said you weren't interested in being boyfriend, girlfriend. And I'm just wondering if you could tell me more about that. And then listen, Debbie, listen, because people don't change. He's going to tell you what he wants and tell you why. And then you can call me back if you're, we can discuss it.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Emily, you take care. Honey.
You too, Debbie. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
All right, we have Matt, 29, in Pennsylvania, who's got a question about porn.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Evening, Emily. How are you?
Good evening. Good, thanks.
Real quick, I just wanted to say that as the child of a sex educator, I really, really appreciate what you do with your show and your podcast.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So many people get instruction with regard to what my mom called the plumbing, the anatomy, but not so much the whole brain component, the whole cerebral component.
Yeah.
And that's really what matters most.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Your mom's a sex educator.
Welcome.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
She's retired, but the knowledge stays. And I think that's the most important.
Yeah.
Thing.
Amazing. I'm so glad you were raised by someone like that. Okay. So what's going on?
Well, okay. So, an interesting thing happened. I recently, shall we say, inherited a substantial porn archive from a friend.
Okay.
So much so I had to get an external hard drive.
Wow. Okay.
To accommodate it all.
Okay.
And yes. And I hesitate to use the word porn in this context because it strikes me as more erotic than pornographic.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a difference between the two.
I agree.
Okay, good. And I think that's extremely sex positive. I think erotica can be very sex positive, and porn can, it doesn't always, but it can have a lot of baggage associated
mm-hmm.
with it. And in recent months, I've found myself, like, I have my own place. I don't have to worry about like eavesdropping or a roommate or parents or anything like that. I've just found myself kind of filling the void because I don't have cable.
Okay.
That background noise from the television would produce with porn.
Hmm.
And in your experience, it hasn't shown any detrimental effects. Like it's only on my computer. I can't get it on my phone. I can't get it when I'm out in public. I can't get it when I'm at work or anything like that. So it's confined to my place.
Okay.
But in your experience, my question is there a law of not quite diminishing returns, but just, is there a negative side effect that I am more predisposed to because of this in the long term? like diminishing desire, diminishing
interest in sexuality,
anything like that?
There, you know, just like everything, like if you're doing it too much, that's your only outlet, that's your, you know, you're maybe not even going out there and dating as much or trying to meet people, and you're constantly watching the same images over and over again, that I absolutely think that could have an impact on your ability to have real intimacy with someone. But like, also, you seem to have a good, you know, head around. The fact that you're even asking that and have a consciousness around it, is it, have you noticed it since, you know, here's the other thing, you didn't choose this. It was gifted to you, right? Like, you didn't choose to have this. And so I'm wondering, do you actually want it all? Like, is it becoming more of a problem right now? You know, it wasn't like you archived.
I wouldn't call it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, like, it wasn't like you, you know, put together this curated thing, and it's like someone like dropped it. It's like when someone gives you furniture, like, oh, I got this couch from my old roommate. I never got rid of it. It's always in the living room. You know what I'm saying? We have things that people give us that we don't actually want or need, but we keep it because of nostalgia, or it's just there and we use it. So, you know, it's a lot of porn, it sounds like, or erotica. Is it so?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't interpret it. That's the thing, Emily. I don't view it as a problem, because it helps that I have a background in filmmaking and I know how they make the images on screen appear the way they do.
Right.
It's just that I'm more concerned about potential long-term effects, and if there are any adverse potential long-term effects, how I can nip those in the bud. And to twist things up a little bit, I've dated a number of girls in the past year or so who I've taken back to my place or gone to their place even with this external hard drive, showed it to them, and it's been met with like universal acclaim. So I don't perceive of any negative side effects. It's just that with the way porn and erotica are sort of pathologized in American society, I think I find myself potentially questioning myself unnecessarily. And since you're the resident sex expert, I wanted to know what you thought of that.
I think that, okay, so explain to me, and I think a lot of you who are listening might not really understand the difference between erotica and porn. And so tell me how you classify it. Could you give me an example? Is it movies? Is it images?
It's primarily movies. There are some images, but like I said, the background stuff that goes on, it's films. And they are, I would categorize them as high production value.
Okay.
Lots of cameras, lots of angles, really good editing, really good lighting. And a really like sex affirmative or sex positive depiction of women.
Okay.
Because the guys pretty much always go down on the women. It seems like women orgasm more often than not.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be acting. Who knows? It's anybody's guess. And there are very few extreme close-up inserts.
Okay.
Listen,
Matt, I'm going to say to me that people are watching porn and they're pulling up the McDonald's of porn like Pornhub. And to me, that stuff is not pro-woman. It's made by women for women. So it sounds like you have a consciousness around this. If it becomes the point that you can't leave your house, all you're doing is masturbating, you don't want to meet people anymore, that's when porn becomes a problem. But you sound like you've had this really solid upbringing and that you are watching conscious porn with a conscience. So I'm feeling pretty good about it, Matt. I only think if you start to realize that it's making you a little bit like, I don't want to go out and I don't want to meet anyone. But otherwise, I think you're good. But you can keep me posted because I'm here every night. But right now, you have my go-ahead. Okay? You have my blessing.
Much.
Bye, Matt. Thanks for calling. I had to really break it down, you know, but it sounds like, you know, he's had the good upbringing with the mom, and an erotica can be, it's like, it can be really hot and not feel as dirty and make you feel like you want to take a shower.
We have Dana, 49, in Connecticut. She's engaged to someone who loves large breasts, and she doesn't have any. How can she feel better about herself?
Oh, hey, Dana. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for listening.
Of course. All right, so tell me what's going on.
Okay, so I am engaged to somebody who is definitely a breast man. I actually had breast implants, and I got them removed, but I put smaller ones in there because I actually hate them.
Right.
But he's truly a breast man. I mean, he checks women out all the time, and he doesn't really even play with my breasts. I kind of feel inadequate.
Dana, I hear you.
That's my problem.
Have you talked? Well, yeah. You know, have you talked to him about it? Have you let him know? And what does he say?
Like, I love you. He's like, I love you. It's not a problem, but I do feel like it.
Yeah, well, this is something, if you're going to marry him, I know. But listen, if this is someone that you're going to marry, Dana, and you've already committed and he's asked you to marry him, I have to believe that this is in your head, right? Like, we don't always get everything we desire in a partner, you know? There's a lot of things we're like, oh, but I love this person. Too bad they're not a doctor. My mom wanted me to marry a doctor. Or they don't let, you know, their feet aren't that big. Whatever it is. But I feel like he's a boob guy, but he's marrying you. So clearly he can't be that too much of a boob guy, you know? So this is truly something for you to work on. And I got to tell you this. I've had men not touch my breasts enough at all. And it's not because they're not even boob guys, but they forget. They like get so into the sex that they jump right over my breasts and they go right to intercourse. And I just know, I'm like, hello, remember my breasts? And then I have to show them, like, not in a very positive way. You know, it really turns me on when you like play with my nipples and you slow down and you say, here's what I like. So I have to remind them gently, you know, several times what I'm into. So I think if you started getting your needs met sexually, and I'm wondering if there's other things you desire that you're not getting because a lot of us don't know how to ask for it, that if you start there, I think he'll start to realize that he loves you, Dana, the woman, and your breasts as well.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you.
You're
I like
so
that.
Welcome. All right,
yeah,
Dana.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Congratulations on the engagement. Let me know how it goes.
All right, Business with Emily. Catch me Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on SiriusXM Stars. It's channel 109, and you can get even more awesome sex talk, and you can get your questions answered. Even if you don't have SiriusXM, you can call me 888-947-8277 or get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. Also, find me on Faction Talk 103 on Saturdays on SiriusXM, 7 p.m. East, and 10 o'clock East. Okay, guys, if you haven't seen it yet, you have to check out my Sex with Emily Vesper. It's an elegant vibrator necklace that you wear around your neck. I wear it every single day. Yes, it really works. It's super strong. It's really cool. Every time I wear it, people are like, Emily, what is that? Because it's just a really cool art piece in a way. And I'm like, oh, it's a vibrator. And it's cool. It comes engraved with one of three limited edition phrases. And you can choose I come first, turn me on, or meditate, masturbate, manifest. It comes in three colors. We have silver, rose gold, and gold. And they're great gifts for the holidays. I literally give everybody this necklace for everything for their birthday, for the holidays, and it's super special. So I think you're going to love it. You can find it at sexwithemily.com/Vesper, V-E-S-P-E-R. Okay, guys, what you been waiting for? Black Friday deals. Jeju, you can get 20% off. Use code Emily at sexwithemily.com/Jeju. That's J-E-J-O-U-E. And they make some vibrators that I just adore, specifically the Jeju Mimi. It was one of my first loves, and I still love it. Also, the enclosed, you can get $25 off your first order if you use code Emily, sexwithemily.com/enclosed. Now, Enclosed is a super cool company. It's woman-owned. You can get a monthly subscription box with lingerie that you can pick out, get it for your partner, get it for yourself. I mean, for me, I love Enclosed because it's super quality lingerie. They have all different styles. They're really good at getting the right fit. Plus, like, it's the kind of thing that I don't want to splurge on for myself, but if someone got it for me as a gift and I could get sexy, you know, pieces every month or just what, you know, even if it's comfortable, romantic, whatever you're into, they have all the styles and I'm blown away by this company. Again, it's sexwithemily.com/enclosed. And also, Uber Lube, you can get 10% off, which I don't think that's ever happened before. Use code Emily, go to uberlube.com/shop. All right. Thanks to my amazing listeners. We're heading into our 15th year doing this podcast. So thank you for being open, sharing the show with friends, rating us wherever you listen, because we do release 3 podcasts a week. And that just helps us continue to bring you more great content. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Lisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Look, my purpose on the planet is to give you all the knowledge to help you have better sex. But I gotta tell you, if you're stressed out, you might not be seeing the results you want.
See, the deal is the stress in our bodies can keep us from having amazing sex. Now, I do have tips for this as well. And one of them is Foria Awaken, which I've been talking about for a while. See, Foria is a pioneer in using CBD for sexual wellness. And Awaken is their perfect way to help get rid of all that stress you're carrying around. Awaken is an all-natural oil with CBD extract that you massage into your clitoris, vulva, and vagina to help with relaxation and arousal in more ways than one. First, because you apply Awaken about 15 to 30 minutes before sex or masturbation, you can turn this into a pampering ritual that helps you start to unwind. Smells great and just feels nice and calming once you start to rub it in. Next, Awaken's ingredients start to take effect, which can totally lead to enhanced sexual sensation, better lubrication, more orgasms. I mean, you get it. Besides CBD, Awaken contains coconut oil and kava kava extract. There's no THC, so there's no high. Foria only uses CBD extract organically grown in the USA and independently tested to be free of all synthetics, toxins, and anything else you wouldn't want to put in your vagina. And it's 100% edible, vegan, and gluten-free. So check it out, learn more, try it for yourself. Trust me, you're going to love it. Go to sexwithemily.com/awaken. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/awaken.